Oh my God, she actually fell for it. My mother-in-law's cackle echoed through the kitchen as I lay sprawled on the floor, my hip throbbing from the impact. I told you she'd go down like a sack of potatoes, my sister-in-law Portia laughed, filming me with her phone. This is going straight to TikTok. Get up, drama queen, my father-in-law Cyrus said, stepping over me to grab a beer from the fridge. It's just a little tumble. I tried to push myself up, but my hand slipped in the oil again, sending me crashing back down. The laughter got louder. My in-laws laughed. When I slipped on oil, they poured on the kitchen floor. Hi, I'm Amara. Today I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. I met Dashiell at a book signing. I was there promoting my debut novel, and he was in line, holding a worn copy he'd already read twice. I had to meet the mind behind this story, he'd said, those green eyes sparkling with genuine admiration. We talked for hours after the signing ended. He was charming, intelligent, worked as an architect designing sustainable homes. Everything about him seemed perfect. He came from money, but wasn't flashy about it, drove a Prius instead of a Porsche, volunteered at homeless shelters on weekends. I should warn you, he said on our third date, my family is different. Different how? They're very traditional. Old money, old values. But don't worry, they'll love you. I should have paid more attention to the way he wouldn't meet my eyes when he said that. The first meeting was at their estate in Connecticut. The house looked like something from The Great Gatsby. Massive, imposing, dripping with generational wealth. His mother, Cordelia, answered the door in pearls and a designer dress, looking me up and down like I was livestock at auction. So you're the writer, she said, making it sound like I'd said I was a garbage collector. Published author, actually, I corrected politely. How bohemian. Dashiell's last girlfriend was a surgeon, Harvard Medical. Mom, Dashiell warned. What? I'm just making conversation. Dinner was an interrogation disguised as small talk. His father Cyrus grilled me about my family background, middle class, education, state school, and financial situation, comfortable, but not wealthy. His sister Portia spent the entire time on her phone, occasionally snorting at something on the screen. His brother Maximilian and his wife Eugenie barely acknowledged my existence. So, Amara, Eugenie finally spoke, twirling her wine glass, what's your five-year plan? Still planning to play writer? Or will you get a real job once you marry into the family? Writing is my real job, I said evenly. My book hit the Times bestseller list last month. For how long? A week? Portia smirked. 6 weeks and counting. The table went quiet. Cordelia's smile tightened. How nice. Though I suppose anyone can write a book these days. Self-publishing has really lowered the bar. I'm with Random House, actually. Another silence. Dashiell squeezed my hand under the table but didn't defend me. That should have been my first red flag. After we got engaged, the pranks started. That's what they called them. Pranks. Harmless family fun. Like the time they gave me the wrong address for Cordelia's birthday party, and I showed up at an abandoned warehouse an hour away. Or when they told me the family reunion was casual, and I arrived in jeans to find everyone in formal wear. You have to understand, Dashiell would say. They're testing you. It's how they show affection. By humiliating me? They did it to Eugenie, too. Look how well she fits in now. Eugenie, who'd become just as cruel as the rest of them. Who'd traded her soul for a Birkin bag and a black card. The pranks escalated. They'd hide my keys during visits, switch my coffee with decaf when they knew I had deadlines, accidentally spill wine on my laptop, always with that same cackling laughter, like hyenas circling prey. Why don't you ever stand up for me? I asked Dashiell after they'd locked me in the pool house during a thunderstorm, claiming they forgot I was out there. You're being too sensitive. That's just how they are. Once we're married, they'll accept you. And if they don't? They will. Trust me. I wanted to trust him. I loved him. Or I loved who I thought he was, the sensitive architect who read literary fiction and cared about the environment. I didn't yet understand that he was just playing a role, the family rebel who dates inappropriate women before inevitably settling down with someone suitable. The oil incident happened 2 months before our wedding. We were at the family estate for Sunday dinner, a weekly torture I endured for Dashiell's sake. I was in the kitchen, helping Cordelia's housekeeper Gretchen prepare dessert. "Careful, miss," Gretchen whispered, glancing toward the door. "They're in one of their moods today." Before I could ask what she meant, Cordelia called out sweetly, "Amara, dear, could you bring in the coffee tray?" I should have noticed the suppressed giggles from the dining room, should have seen the sheen on the kitchen floor, but I was distracted, thinking about my manuscript deadline, about the wedding planning Cordelia had completely taken over. The moment my foot hit the oil, I knew I'd been set up. My legs flew out from under me. The coffee tray went flying. I hit the tile floor hard, my hip taking the full impact. Hot coffee splashed across my dress, burning my skin. The laughter was immediate and cruel. Cordelia stood in the doorway, clutching her pearls in fake concern, while her eyes danced with malice. Portia had her phone out, recording every second. Cyrus stepped over me like I was debris. Even Maximilian and Eugenie crowded in to watch the show. "Dashiell!" I called out, still on the floor, oil soaking through my dress. He appeared in the doorway, saw the scene, saw his family laughing, saw me covered in coffee and oil on the floor, and he chuckled. He actually chuckled. "Come on, Amara. It's just a joke. Get up." "I can't. It's too slippery." "Stop being dramatic," Cordelia said. "Gretchen, clean this up. And Amara, you should go change. You're a mess." I finally managed to crawl to a dry patch of floor and pull myself up. My hips screamed in protest. My dress was ruined. But worse than the physical pain was seeing Dashiell chatting with his brother like nothing had happened. "I need to go to the hospital," I said quietly. "The hospital?" Portia laughed. "For a little fall? God, you're such a baby." "I think I seriously hurt my hip." "You're fine," Dashiell said dismissively. "Just walk it off." I stared at him. This man who claimed to love me, who'd put a ring on my finger, was telling me to walk off what felt like a serious injury because his family thought it was funny. "Take me to the hospital, or I'm calling an Uber," I said firmly. His family exchanged looks. Cordelia sighed dramatically. "If you must make a scene, Dashiell, take your fiancé to the emergency room for her little boo-boo." The ride to the hospital was silent. Dashiell was annoyed, I could tell. Not at his family for hurting me, but at me for embarrassing him by insisting on medical care. X-rays revealed a hairline fracture in my hip and severe bruising. The doctor prescribed pain medication and crutches and gave me a stern look when I explained how I'd fallen. "Oil on the floor?" He raised an eyebrow. "That's assault. You could press charges." "She won't," Dashiell said quickly. "It was just a family prank gone wrong." The doctor looked at me for a long moment. "Pranks aren't supposed to result in fractures, young lady. You might want to reconsider what kind of family you're marrying into." That night, back at our apartment, I finally exploded. "A hairline fracture, Dashiell. Your family gave me a fracture and you laughed." "You're overreacting. The doctor said it would heal in a few weeks." "That's not the point. They hurt me on purpose and you did nothing. What did you want me to do? Start a war with my family over a silly prank?" "Yes, that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted my fiancé to defend me." He rolled his eyes. "This is exactly why they don't accept you. You're too sensitive. You don't understand how families like mine operate." "Families like yours? You mean sociopaths?" "Now you're being ridiculous." "Am I? Name one time, just one, when you've stood up for me against them." He was quiet, and in that silence I saw our entire future, a lifetime of cruel pranks escalating into worse abuse, holidays spent being humiliated, children raised to think tormenting people was normal, and Dashiell, always Dashiell, standing by and watching, too weak to protect anyone but himself. "I can't do this anymore," I said quietly. "Do what? Amara, come on. The wedding is in 2 months. Everything's already paid for." "I don't care. I'm done." "You're going to throw away our relationship over one bad joke?" "It's not one joke, Dashiell. It's years of abuse that you've enabled. And I just realized something. You don't love me. You love that I'm inappropriate for your family. I'm your rebellion, your way of pretending you're different from them. But in the end, you're exactly like them." "That's not true." "Then prove it. Cut them off. Choose me over them." His face went pale. "I can't just cut off my family. My trust fund, the family business, everything I have is tied to them. So is your spine, apparently. I packed my things that night, taking only what I could carry with my crutches. Dashiell followed me around the apartment, alternating between apologies and accusations. The next few weeks were hell. Dashiell called constantly, texted endlessly. His family, however, went nuclear. Portia posted the video of my fall online, editing it to make me look clumsy and dramatic. Cordelia called my publisher, claiming I was mentally unstable and shouldn't be promoted. Cyrus actually had his lawyer send me a bill for the damaged coffee service and kitchen cleanup. But the worst part was the smear campaign. They told everyone in their social circle that I was a gold digger who'd tried to trap Dashiell, then turned violent when exposed. They said I'd faked the injury for attention. Said I'd threatened to write an exposé about them, unless they paid me off. My book sales actually spiked from the controversy, which infuriated them more. My publisher, thankfully, saw through Cordelia's lies and stood by me. But the emotional toll was devastating. I'd loved Dashiell, or thought I had. I'd wanted to build a life with him. Instead, I was on crutches, dealing with lawyers, and fighting off panic attacks. That's when Thaddeus reached out. Thaddeus Blackwood was Cordelia's younger brother, the family black sheep who'd been exiled years ago for refusing to join the family investment firm. He was a documentary filmmaker now, successful in his own right, and had been watching the family's treatment of me from afar. "I heard what they did to you," he said when we met for coffee. "The oil thing? They did the exact same thing to my college girlfriend 30 years ago, broke her wrist." "Why didn't you warn me?" I tried. "Sent you that message on Facebook, remember? You never responded." I vaguely recalled a message request I'd ignored, assuming it was spam. "I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were." "The family doesn't mention me. I'm erased from the narrative, but I've been watching, documenting. Would you be interested in telling your story?" "What do you mean?" "I'm making a documentary about toxic wealth, how generational money creates generational abuse. The Carlyle family would be perfect for it." "They'd sue you into oblivion," he smiled. "Let them try. I have 30 years of evidence, photos, videos, documents, former employees willing to talk, ex-girlfriends with similar stories. Even Gretchen, their housekeeper, is ready to speak up." "What do you need from me?" "Your story, on camera, unfiltered. Show the world who they really are." I thought about it for exactly 3 seconds. "When do we start?" The documentary took 6 months to film. Thaddeus had done his homework. He'd tracked down 7 other women the family had tormented over the years. Dashiell's ex-girlfriends, even a woman Cyrus had dated before Cordelia, all with similar stories of escalating pranks, humiliation, and abuse. Gretchen's testimony was particularly damning. She'd worked for the family for 20 years, had witnessed and documented countless instances of cruelty. She had photos of other oil pranks, recordings of Cordelia planning humiliations, even video of them laughing about the injuries they'd caused. "Why did you stay?" Thaddeus asked her on camera. "They paid well, and I have a special needs daughter. I needed the health insurance. But watching what they did to Miss Amara, that was the final straw. Some things matter more than money." The most shocking revelation came from Eugenie, Maximilian's wife. She agreed to be interviewed anonymously, her face in shadow, voice disguised. "They break you down systematically," she said. "First the pranks, then the isolation from your family and friends. They make you dependent on them financially, emotionally. By the time you realize you're being abused, you're too deep to get out." "Why are you speaking out now?" Thaddeus asked. "Because I'm pregnant, and I look at Cordelia, at how she raised her sons to be cruel, and I think, I can't let my child become like them, but I also can't leave. Maximilian has made sure of that. Prenup, financial control, threats about custody. I'm trapped." Her words hit me hard. That could have been me in a few years, trapped in a golden cage, raising children to continue the cycle of abuse. During filming, Dashiell tried everything to stop me. He sent flowers, wrote letters, even showed up at my apartment at 2 a.m., drunk and crying. "Please don't do this," he begged. "I'll change. I'll stand up to them. We can move away, start fresh." "It's too late, Dashiell. I love you." "No, you don't. You love the idea of me, the writer, the outsider, the one who made you feel different from your family. but when push came to shove, you showed me who you really are. That's not fair. Fair? Your mother gave me a fracture and you told me to walk it off. There's nothing fair about any of this. He left, but not before his family tried one more power play. Cyrus offered me a significant sum to bury the documentary. When I refused, Cordelia tried blackmail, claiming she had compromising photos of me. She didn't. Finally, their lawyer threatened to sue for defamation. Thaddeus just smiled when I told him. Perfect. Discovery in a defamation case means we can subpoena all their financial records, emails, text messages. Please, let them sue. They didn't sue. The documentary titled Golden Cages, A Study in Inherited Cruelty premiered at Sundance. The response was immediate and overwhelming. Critics called it a devastating exposé of how wealth corrupts absolutely and required viewing for anyone who's ever wondered why rich people are so weird. The Carlyle family went into damage control mode. Cordelia gave a disastrous interview to The Times where she claimed the oil incident was an accident and that I was unstable and vindictive. The fact that she'd done the same thing to multiple women over 3 decades didn't help her case. Cyrus's business partners started distancing themselves. Several charity boards asked Cordelia to resign. Porsche's influencer career tanked when brands didn't want to be associated with someone who filmed assault for TikTok views. But the real vindication came from unexpected sources. Dashiell's ex-girlfriend, the surgeon Cordelia had mentioned so fondly, reached out to thank me. They did the same things to me, Dr. Evelyn Chen said when we met for lunch. The pranks, the humiliation, the isolation. I left Dashiell when they locked me in a freezer at their ski lodge. Cordelia said I needed to chill out about a joke they'd played. I got hypothermia. Did Dashiell defend you? Never. Not once. That family has ruined him. He'll never be capable of real love because he doesn't know what it looks like. More stories poured in. Former employees shared their experiences. Other wealthy families distanced themselves from the Carlyles, not out of moral outrage, but because they'd become too visible, too exposed. The documentary won 3 awards and sparked a larger conversation about generational wealth and abuse. I wrote a follow-up book about the experience, which became another bestseller. The Carlyle family threatened to sue over that too, but never followed through. Eugenie divorced Maximilian a year later, using the documentary as evidence of systematic abuse in her custody hearing. She got full custody and a settlement that would ensure her daughter never depended on the Carlyle money. Gretchen became an advocate for domestic workers' rights, sharing her story at conferences and helping other employees trapped in abusive wealthy households. The last I heard, the Carlyle family was selling off assets to pay legal fees from various lawsuits. Their estate in Connecticut went on the market. Cordelia moved to a smaller house in a less prestigious zip code. The family that had built their identity on inherited wealth and inherited cruelty was watching both slip away. The Carlyles thought they were testing whether I was worthy of their family. They never realized I was testing them too. They failed spectacularly, and I documented every moment of it, because that's what writers do. We take our pain and transform it into truth. And sometimes the truth is enough to bring down an empire built on lies. So here's my question for you. Have you ever been in a relationship where your partner's family tried to break you? How did you handle it? Did your partner defend you, or did they show you who they really were? Drop a comment below. I'd love to hear your story.